Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's around. The man's are coming through. What does he say? Anyways, lots to get to on this Friday. Todd Callis.
You trying to go Becky Lynch?
The man.
The man has come around?
The man has come around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian has come around. The brain. But Todd Callis, the real brain. He'll be joining us at 4. You ever use that phrase, like banging your head against the wall?
Yeah.
Joe's going to try to do that again today with the man of the people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Joe's just banging his head against the wall until he wins man of the people. We've tried to let him win.
We tried. You tried.
But Joe snatches defeat from the jaws of victory the last two times we've played. So we'll see how it goes today. Some college football stuff. NFL, yesterday was the first day of the season, if we consider it that. I went 3-2-1.
That's all I really cared about.
I went 3-2-1. I lost one game by three. That was like plus 250.
Oh.
So that was kind of annoying. I wasn't sweating it, though. I didn't look until this morning. But I went 3-2-1, and I am up 1.16 unit.
Okay.
Which, if you bet $1 million units, you'd be a millionaire today.
Yeah, you
betting
would
be on all of the underdogs in preseason football. I have three more tonight.
Okay.
I made those bets today. And then I know, usually I try not to open my computer on the weekend. So I already made the bets this morning.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, because I'll forget. Probably forget. So I did it while I was already in the app. You know, there's volume on your computer.
It's talking to me.
Oh, Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso's on our TV screen. But lots to get to. We'll get to some hot takes around the NFL because this is an NFL show. We are the preeminent NFL show. No one does more NFL than we do.
Fact.
The numbers are telling us that.
They are.
The people are telling us that. So
they're complaining about it, too. Just the Twitchers.
The Twitchers are complaining that they're talking NFL? NFL? I thought they complained about us talking about the Texans.
They just complain about everything.
That's a good point. You give them $1 million, they complain it wasn't $2 million.
Who's a fat guy. Yeah.
You give him $2 million.
Living in his mother's
they complain
basement.
It was $3 million, but that's funny. They have like $2 because they live in their mother's basement. Thank you, Coach Saban. But we'll get to some NFL stuff, some training camp overreactions, Bad Take Boulevard, Mailbag Monday, normal Friday stuff. But we begin. Swarm! The Houston Texans, Joe, lost to football. Season's over.
Season's dead.
The season is over. The Houston Texans, like, their offense was dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
Their roster spot 50 through 90, we're kidding, obviously. No one cares that they lost this. I don't think anybody cares that they lost this football game. If you care that they lost this football game, please let us know why. Call or text 713-780-3776. Certainly nobody puts stock in preseason football, right?
No.
Right,
you can learn things, but the value of winning and losing, unless you're on the money line on all the underdogs, no one cares.
Okay, yeah, I mean I care. I was on the Chargers.
Yeah, you are. So you're happy.
I was on the Chargers.
You're like, this is going exactly what I thought was going to happen.
They had that turnover. I was like, bolt. Whatever they say, I don't know what they say. Be handed. What do they say?
It's Trey
like,
Lance.
Yeah, I think it's bolt up.
Is it bolt up?
I think it's bolt up.
Terrible name.
It is.
DJ Ugalele, which I had no idea he was on the Chargers until he walked onto the field.
Yeah, I was all over the Chargers. I was jumping off my couch there midway through the third quarter. Yeah, let's bolt up. I was yelling at my TV screen. But we'll get to there are some tangible things here. Like I saw Will Kunkel. He tweeted out, like, the Texans offense looks dreadful tonight or something like that. And I was like, who cares? And look, I'm one, like, you know me. Brian, you know me. The dozens and dozens of junkies, you know me. If there's anything to nitpick, I am one to do it. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
That's me being realistic with who I am. If there is anything to nitpick, you know that I'm going to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
That's just who I am, for better or worse, mostly worse. And I recognize that. I understand that. Do you care that the Texans' offense was not good yesterday?
No.
The only offensive series that I care a little bit about, not even a lot, just a little bit about, was the first offensive series because they had the starting five offensive line, and that was of the players that were playing, that was the best unit that was going to be on the field last night. Starting offensive lineman, backup quarterback, your second wave of receivers, and the best running back that you had dressed in Noah Whittington. And what did they do on that offensive possession?
They marched down the field and scored a touchdown.
My satisfaction was met. Don't care what happens the rest of the game. That's it.
It's everything you wanted there. And that one possession, the offensive line, like they just checked the box. That's what
check the box.
That's what the preseason for me is. It's check the box.
Check the box. And there are tangible things. I don't want to like completely poo-poo
but like
on the preseason
as like an
altogether.
Overall thing. This is like a college class that's a pass fail, right?
Nah.
It's not a letter grade.
Okay, that's fine.
Like pass. Like, offensive line, move bodies.
Yes.
Pass.
How does German Gronk look?
Pass.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Like those. Like I care. Here's what I care about. I care about the development and the play of the players that are actually going to be helping you in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And in that game yesterday, how many players play that are actually going to be helping you in the season? Hopefully not Davis Mills.
I mean, Rutledge.
The offensive line, but they played one series and they scored a touchdown
Ingram,
that series.
I saw it there.
Well, there was the starting offensive line was out there for a series. So, like, you're going to count on them, their series, check the box. Like, how much is Jared Wayne going to play? How much is Lewis Bond going to play?
A lot of these
how
guys
How much is Noah Whittington going to play? And defensively, they use some guys that I think will. Like, they were playing McDonald because he's a rookie, and he's probably the third defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. He's probably the backup one tech. Like, they're gonna have to get some snaps from the linebackers that are currently here, whether it's Jake the Pummel Hummel or if it's Woody Woodass. Like, they're going to have to play. We'll probably see some Jalen Smith. We'll probably see some maybe even Colin Wright this year. But those are all backups. Like they played nothing. And then all those guys were out of the game by the second half.
Yep.
So like the game don't care, obviously, about the outcome, the results of the second half. It's more about the play of certain players that could be helping you in the season. And that, frankly, is it. And German Gronk, I think, is probably the headliner of like, okay, this guy I think might be able to help you in the season. He caught that seam route, which I think was a better throw than it was like German Gronk doing anything special. But it shows you like his skill set.
Yes.
I listened to Davis Mills after the game. I watched the all 22
of
the first couple of offensive series and the first couple of defensive series.
Okay.
And I was breaking down the film at Jeremy Branham on Twitter.
You're out there
as only
posturing.
I can. As only I can. Like only I can. So I think it was a better throw than it was like this great feat of athleticism for Marlon Klein. But I think it does show you that he might be able to add an element to this offense that the Texans really don't have. Like, he is a guy that you might be able to just play at tight end every now and then. I don't think he's going to out-snap Dalton Schultz. He might not even out-snap Foster Moreau. But is he an element that can help you offensively? I think German Gronk proved that he can.
Yeah, I mean, where you drafted him, you would hope that he would.
Mm-hmm.
13 personnel this year, subbing in on injury situations,
maybe
whatever 12. It's going to be. And like
maybe 12.
Yeah, maybe 12. And see, I think of note there is that he's just on the field before Stover, right?
But, sure.
Like Stover's there.
I think they'll have different roles.
Yeah, but Stover's there at the end of the games. Like that to me is also an indicator of the initial depth chart that they put out where Klein is fifth on.
Oh, they're all
it.
Those depth charts are stupid.
It's nonsense, right? Like, he's on the field that early. It makes me feel like they're already envisioning a role for him.
Stover might
on
be a fullback.
Roster. I'm not sure he's on the roster.
See, that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Stover's fighting with Marlon Klein. I think Stover's fighting with the British Bulldog.
Yeah.
I think that's the roster spot that's being fought for, is Kate Stover and the British Bulldog. I think he's kind of banged up, so probably, you know, favors. What do they call him? Farmer Gronk?
Farmer Gronk?
I think they call Kate Stover Farmer Gronk.
Is that what?
I think they did.
Because he went to Iowa?
I think he was, no, because he, like, lives on a farm.
He went to he also went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who am I thinking of?
CJ Fedorowicz? I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
It's Farmer Gronk.
Was it Farmer Gronk? So,
yeah.
Excellent recall, Branham. But no, I think that he adds an element to this offense that makes you excited about what he can do this year. Davis Mills was like, he can take the top off of defense, which that's
a perfect pass to Klein.
For sure. That's what we were just talking about. But if you have a tight end who can take the top off of defense, what a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's going to help your offense. If you have to pay attention to your stinking tight end because he could take the top off the defense, what does that do for everybody else around you? And look, this isn't going to be every play. He's not going to play 50 snaps a game. But it's exciting that it could be a new element to this offense that defenses have to respect, which could obviously help you. So that's exciting. And plus, I think the future of Marlon Klein is pretty exciting, too, because Dalton Schultz is in the final year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
We might be looking at the future tied into the Houston Texans as soon as next year.
Yeah, and that's where it's – and if he's good, he'll fight for it, like you said, this year. Like Foster Moreau's not a guy you brought in that's going to stop you from playing a rookie.
He's not going to out-snap Schultz if they're all
– No, healthy. No, but he can be the second tight end.
But I think they're different styles though. And
for
I think
sure.
I think that's where we look at this tight end room. I think we've been looking at it as like maybe a 5-man room. Okay, well Brevin Jordan got hurt, 4-man room. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, after watching yesterday's game, maybe Cade Stover's an odd man out. Maybe he's fighting for a fullback job, H-back job. Maybe it's a 3 tight end room. Whereas Dalton Schultz is like, you know, the leader of the room, and then Foster is your blocker, and then Marlon Klein is your receiving threat. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about it. I'm excited about German Gronk. I saw Lance put out some film that he's showing some good inline blocking too, which maybe he is a versatile tight end. Maybe he's a well-rounded tight end.
That'd be nice.
Which gives you a lot of excitement about the future of the position. This is probably the most I've been excited about a tight end for the Houston Texans since like prime Owen Daniels.
Really?
Yeah. Who else has done it for you at tight end for the Houston Texans?
There's been some guys I was briefly excited about. But
as
no
excited?
No, probably not.
Like, they haven't had like a great buzz in that room.
Well, Owen Daniels is only the only tight end they've ever had that I would call.
When did they draft him?
He was a part of the 2006 draft with D'Amico and Martin.
What round?
He was 4th.
See, like that's not something that's going to really move the needle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he gave you the most production at the position
by far
over the course of his career.
Yeah.
But you were never like early in the Owen Daniels tenure, like, yeah, that's the guy we're going to – he's the future of the position. He turned into that, but no one really expected that early.
So they took CJ in the 3rd round.
Fedorowicz. He was a bum. Who was the dude they drifted? Benny Joppru.
Oh. This
might be the most
pick.
Exciting tight end since Benny Joppru, ironically, out of Michigan.
Who they picked, I think, like one or two spots ahead of Jason Witten.
Oh, really?
One of the worst – draft mistakes they've made.
So, like, I'm excited about the guy. He's got worlds of potential. He's a big guy. He runs fast. I think he's a weapon for the Texans
now,
as soon as this season.
There's one other guy that I think there was some big-time excitement for once upon a time.
Uh-oh.
Whenever he was drafted?
When he was drafted.
For the Texans?
We were all working together at the other place.
The water polo guy?
The water polo.
I wasn't excited about that guy. I was annoyed with that pick.
Everyone else on the station was excited. For what reason, I don't know.
Bill O'Brien loved to draft dudes who weren't great at their position. Like, he drafted that dude, was great at other sports.
You always come in here with these down questions.
I remember when he drafted Braxton Miller, like, in the 3rd round.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're going to be our Julian Edelman. Well, then why did you draft him in the 3rd round? You find those guys in undrafted free agency.
Yeah,
people love that pick.
Was
Edelman
like a 6th-round pick?
Was he 6th-round or undrafted?
He might have been undrafted. But to your point, like if you're trying to find the diamond in the rough, that's not in the 3rd round.
That pick annoyed me so much.
You're drafting starters in the 3rd.
And I think what annoyed me so much about that pick was how excited everybody else was for that pick.
Yeah.
Like they're going to convert him into be this great receiver. I remember I argued with Josh Beard about that. I was like, he's an average athlete for the position. Like, what do you mean? He's the greatest athlete ever. Did you see what he did at Ohio State? I'm not arguing where he is relative to the human race. I'm arguing where he is relative to the wide receiver position is a very average athlete for the position.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think history.
I remember there was a video early for Berrios where they're showing him, like, I think it was during training camp, and he did some sort of Euro step off the line to get separation, and people lost their minds. Like,
you said Berrios?
Braxton Miller, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. he did like a Euro step off the line, and people lost their minds. Like, oh, he's going to get open so quickly.
Yeah.
He's going to dominate in the slot. And,
yeah, they thought he was going to be so good. Yeah. I'm like, I don't see it, guys. I don't see it.
Edelman was a 7th-round pick. So you both were wrong.
Split the difference.
Close
I think
enough.
We were both in the ballpark.
You were. Yeah,
I said
6.
He said undrafted. It's literally in the middle.
Split the difference.
I should have said 7th, and I could have been right.
Yeah, you could have been.
Who was
you choked again.
Who was Amendola undrafted?
Jesus, Brian.
Was Amendola undrafted?
I don't know.
What's your guess?
Welker. I think Welker was drafted.
Welker was drafted.
But he wasn't a Patriot. He was drafted by the Dolphins.
Dolphins, right, yeah.
Amendola
was
undrafted.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they all kind of run together.
I wonder why.
They all run together.
They all look alike, Jeremy?
They do. Yeah.
This time I agree with you.
I think they all kind of look alike, especially when you see them in helmets.
Did you say
it
looked like Wes Walker?
Amendola. I said Edelman.
Edelman and Wes Walker.
Who's the one that does the podcast?
Edelman.
Yeah, I said Edelman and Walker look alike.
Yeah.
Walker also undrafted.
Walker was undrafted.
Yeah.
I thought he was drafted.
Yeah, I thought he was too.
He was pretty stinking good.
He was.
He's a good football player.
I think the Dolphins got like a 2nd-round pick for him in that trade.
I would say that the Patriots are trendsetters in that regard, though, where they were like they valued really quick, great route runners in the slot,
mm-hmm.
whereas other people weren't valuing that yet. So they got some absolute steals.
Yeah, they got guys who were very undersized, it felt like, but they all were just good.
They were like, I actually, I can't remember. where I heard this. It might have been Brady on a podcast, actually. He's like, we as the Patriots valued guys who are very, very quick, who would get from point A to point B in a very quick period of time. And they weren't really valuing that in the NFL at the time. They were valuing like 40 time. They were like valuing size. You know, so those guys were completely flying under the radar. Whereas those guys get drafted now. Like, you see those guys get picked.
Yeah, they do, yeah. Like the lacrosse
player. Hunter Renfro, yeah. Jack Beck. You know, out of TCU, yeah. Like a lot of the that no longer is an undervalued skill set in the NFL.
No, receivers in large are getting smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, Tank got drafted in the third round.
Yeah, there you go,
little guy,
Jalen Nolan,
Devonta Smith,
which Jalen Nolan needs to get on the football field.
Yeah, he does.
That was my a takeaway that I had from yesterday's game. Like Jalen Nolan needs to be on the field. He needs to start earning some reps, mm-hmm. earning some his little broken finger, and go be a man.
Going to lose his job to Jared Wayne.
Get on the gridiron. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Jared Wayne. Let's talk about the other receivers. Let's talk about Cal McNair having a huge gaffe that no one really noticed. 713-780-ESPN. Plenty to get to, including our favorite Cal McNair. We'll get to some. I mean, there were six NFL games yesterday. A lot of stuff happened around the league. I'm ready to proclaim Jeremiah Love is the greatest running back of all time already after one preseason game.
It's also suspension day.
Suspension day. I saw Pierce got one. Is there another?
There's like four.
Who else got?
I'm pull up my notifications.
Anybody that I need to know?
I would say no.
Okay, that's fine. I'm really only worried about Josh Jacobs and Puka Nacua.
No, it's a bunch of defensive ends. Yeah. Doris Armstrong from the Commanders, Nazee Johnson from the Titans.
I do not know this man.
If you don't give me fantasy points, you're dead to me.
Yeah, another Bills player. Yeah.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Oh, the Bills, huh?
Schefter just dropped them all.
Really?
Once. Like five.
He said they were coming. They were coming.
He was right.
So we'll get to all that. Your Texans overreactions and training camp overreactions from around the league. Bad Take Boulevard, Mailbag Monday, Todd Callis, Mailbag Monday, Man of the People. So many things. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, call or text, twitch.tv/ESPN975.
A fat guy in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
We heard you the first time, Coach. YouTube, ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN975, Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at Sacked by BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN975. First, a moment on HRP. I love HRP. They're great people. Mike Hawley, go Cougs. He should protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he protects businesses. Chris Fisher over there as well. HRP's been protecting the interests of businesses for a quarter of a century. They are pillars in the community. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services such as HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. Hook up with them and figure out a way to get your business thriving. Get your business going in a positive direction. Get it soaring to the moon, your business, whenever you get associated with HRP. They're going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. You're not reading off a menu, you know, all that stuff. They're tailoring a plan for you. Maybe it's a little help. Maybe it's a lot of help. Maybe it's HR compliance. Maybe it's payroll. Maybe it's all of it. The whole kit and caboodle. HRP can help you out there. Their customer service, top-notch. You'll never talk to somebody that's a stranger on the other side. You'll always call someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. We use HRP here at Gal. I can attest to that customer service. I promise you, they are elite. Anytime I have a question, quick response, easy to understand. So help out your employees getting HRP. They'll be thankful with HRP in their lives as well. So let HRP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate those HR burdens. That way you can get back to growing your business and spending time and resources in the area of your business that you want to be spending time and resources. So give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out on the internet, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
On a train back to Boston, and we're jumping the gun, and I'm telling you, baby, this the part I'd run. But I like it when you're nice, like it when you're nice to me. Well, there I was, swearing I would never fall in love. All my inhibitions walked out the second you said what's up. So here we go. I'm throwing up the things I used to know.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
This was Alex Bregman a year ago. 713-780-ESPN. Astros, real quick, item on the Astros. Jose Altuve is back in the lineup. So he is in the lineup. He is playing baseball tonight at second base.
What's okay?
What else, I guess, have noted in Espada? What's wrong with Espada's lineup? 713-780-ESPN. Pena, Yordan, Isak. Trammell's batting cleanup. Taylor Trammell in the cleanup. So here's my theory on Taylor Trammell in the cleanup and why Espada was hesitant to do it prior.
Okay.
I mean, what do pitchers do? What do opponents do to Trammell late in games?
Bring in a righty?
They're gonna bring in a lefty. So they're gonna bring in a lefty. That's okay. You knew what you were talking about. So you're gonna bring in a lefty. So Joe didn't want to have to pinch hit his cleanup man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, here's Zach DeZinzo. Now you're batting fourth. But now that they have a guy in Nelly Velasquez that they like. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, we're not as concerned of you going to a lefty in the eighth inning because we like our Nelly Velasquez over here.
That makes sense.
So that's my theory, at least.
I think that makes sense because then, you know, if it goes Trammell, Altuve, Varsho, you could pinch hit for both of them.
Yeah, and Varsho's kind of split neutral, so like there's not as pressing there.
Yeah, so you got a backup option.
Did I give you the rest of the lineup?
Nope.
Pena, Yordan Paredes, Trammell, Altuve, Varsho, Walker hitting seventh, Smith eighth, Vasquez ninth. A lot of people, Cam's hot. He should be hitting higher, which I think that's probably a valid take. Another theory here is I think that, we're not going to mess with Cam. We don't want to, he's swinging a good bat. Let's not give him higher leverage situations and then make him, be mental about it. Yeah, he's comfortable. Let's just leave him there.
It's fine. It's baseball. Guys are weird. If it's working, just keep it going.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. So, anyways, back to football. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. So, Cal McNair yesterday, our favorite owner. We love Cal McNair. Well, Tillman's first, Cal second. But we love Cal. We were in on Cal before people were in on Cal. People were wanting to sell
the Texans. That's a great point.
Thank you, Cal. I hope that you know that, too. People were trying to get you to sell the team to Kerry, and we're like, no, Cool Cat Cal. We like Cool Cat Cal. He's the man. He's awesome. And then finally.
Good. You having a little party?
Hannah. Got him whipped. And now she's running the team. But that's good because they're in good hands. But Cal McNair and Hannah McNair, mm-hmm. They did the whole little in-game interview because you know what these preseason games are. They're pretty much paid programming to buy season tickets.
Yes.
We know. They had Hannah McNair, Cal McNair on it. They had the Tobin guy who hey, we're great. Buy tickets. This is all that it is, paid programming, which we get. It's fine. We're going to watch. So they had Cal and Hannah on there. Kevin Kugler, who has to pretend. Is Kugler or Krugler? I don't remember.
I think it's Kugler.
But he has to pretend like he keeps up with the Texans. He has to pretend like he likes Love Volleyball. He's like, Love Volleyball, what a great watch. all that stuff, which, goes with the territory. But they asked him about going to London again because they're going to London, second time, franchise history. And I didn't catch this. Brian's the one who caught this. But Cal starts to answer the question, and he looks over at Indy Kalu. He's like, you were there, right? Take a listen.
This is our second trip. Yep. You ended the first one. We had a great time over there. The team played well. Did you play in that game for us?
No, that was after I retired. I'm that old.
They played well. We're undefeated over there.
Okay, so whenever I heard that, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, there's probably a 2-3 year gap.
Can you clip that, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, 2-3 year gap. Whatever. Yeah. Okay, it must have happened just when he was retired. Cal, he's got a lot of teams. Just, the year. No big deal. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brian did the math on this.
Brian the Brain.
Indy Kalu retired after the 2008 season. The Houston Texans played in London in 2019.
The years just run together.
So was this Cal being funny and he just has zero personality?
No.
Or did he just flat out miss?
Missed. He missed.
I don't think he knows anything about Indy Kalu's career.
That's funny.
Yeah, he just missed it.
He missed by more than a decade.
By whole,
so he was in the wrong decade.
Yeah, by whole careers. How many years did JJ Watt play?
How many years did Indy Kalu play? Indy Kalu could have played a second career and still not have played in that game.
Probably less than 11.
Less than 11.
He played 11.
Okay, so if Indy Kalu had another career, he could have played in London in his farewell season.
Yeah.
So good.
It got buried in that. I just noticed when we played it here, Cal mentions at the end, yeah, we're undefeated over there.
Yeah, he says that a lot. I've heard him say that.
They played one game.
That's his thing, though. Because I've heard him, whenever he was doing his little media thing, they asked him about London. He's like, we're undefeated there. That's one of his go-tos.
1-0.
That's intentional.
Oh, if it's one of his go-tos.
That's probably
a soundboard.
Yeah. It's a little joke for him.
That's where, is D'Amico on the hot seat. If they're not undefeated in London anymore, you take that away from Cal McNair, he's going to be upset. Got to stay undefeated in London.
Oh, man. I love that. They had him on for two full segments, too. I'm talking flag
football. Did you notice there was I forget what question it was in particular, but they asked a question directly at Cal, and you could tell at that moment, like, Cal kind of panicked. He didn't know what to say, so he kind of, like, turns to Hannah and nudges her, and Hannah's like, then she just started talking.
Cal's like, go ahead.
I don't know what to say here. You say it.
This is your job.
That's how the relationship works.
This is why I married you. Yeah. So I didn't have to do the talking.
Oh, that was probably my favorite part of the game.
Oh, yeah.
They had Cal and Hannah on.
Sure.
And they kicked John Harris out of the booth whenever they did it.
Do they have another home game?
One more, right? Play the Raiders at home.
So maybe he'll be back.
I doubt it.
I
think they try to limit his exposure.
That, and I assume more starters will play in the games. They'll be playing. They might actually pay closer attention to the action.
He can come in the fourth quarter.
They interviewed Stroud during the third. They were people were tweeting at me, like, what'd you think of the Stroud interview? Because he was kind of like, in my mind, he was ready to be over with the interview. But they were also playing football during it, and I think he was, like, trying to watch the game, you know. So he was like, because you could catch him, like, looking up at the video board. He just didn't like being interviewed in-game, which I get. Like, those are your boys. They're playing. You want to be engaged with them. You want to be a good teammate. I didn't take anything of it. And, again, I'm a nitpicker. I make mountains out of molehills. I didn't take anything by that interview. Cal and Hannah, nonetheless, though. That was phenomenal.
Big deal.
I will say this about the booth. I miss Spencer Tillman. Not that Spencer Tillman's, like, wonderful and great, but he says a few things during the game where we get run on, right?
Yeah, he gets some spice.
Yeah. I think it was, like, whenever
he has a little Ryan Hollins to him.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, hyperbolic Hollins. Like, I remember the one where he had he said, like, Nick Caserio is, like, the greatest general manager of all time. And these were, like, in the David Culley era.
I remember, yes.
He's, like, the turnaround that they've had with this roster. He's one of the best jobs in the NFL. And we're like, ugh. I don't know if they're going to win a whole lot of games this year, Spencer.
They did not.
So I kind of miss him. I kind of miss him. I
think, just for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he puts spice on a preseason game.
Yeah.
Like, he gives you some nuggets where you're like, okay, we're going to make fun of this.
Johnny does some of that.
I guess you're right.
Johnny does some of that. I'm trying to remember the exact one, but there's a lot of, anytime they showed, like, a sixth round pick that made, like, a halfway decent play, Johnny was quick to say, like, this guy's going to be a big contributor to the team. He was like, I don't know, Johnny.
It's
kind of like everyone's had a great camp. Everyone's going to contribute well.
He's just so – I love Jay.
I do too.
He's so awesome listening to football. He's just so excited.
Yes.
He's, like, so excited where he thinks that, like, Noah Whittington's going to be the next Arian Foster. You know what I mean? Because he's so excited about it.
Like, it's
infectious, but sometimes it's all over the top.
He reminds me of the power thirst. He's power thirst about football.
Yesterday's basically Christmas for John Harris.
Yeah.
It's like it's preseason football.
I love it.
Especially because he does all the work on the draft prospects. Like, he probably loves preseason football more than everyone else.
He was breaking down the Charger under, like, sixth-round corner.
Oh, the game of Arizona.
Yeah. He's like, I thought this is a guy that the Texans were going to bring as an undrafted free agent, but unlucky for us, he was drafted with the 18th pick in the seventh round. I had great grades coming out of him from Central Arizona. I know he wasn't from Central Arizona.
Yeah, the preseason is John Harris's platform, the knowledge bomb, and he just
great.
Just drops them
he
all
is
over.
He's great on the broadcast. I think Indy is a little boring.
I agree.
He's a little dry, I think. I prefer Spencer's hot takes.
There were definitely some times where they didn't show Indy in the booth. I wouldn't have known he was there. Like, he just kind of disappeared in the background and John Harris took over.
He's kind of dull. He's kind of boring. Spencer Tillman will give you some – what Spencer Tillman will give you are hot takes and, like, cliches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He gives you hot takes and cliches, and I miss them.
Cliches are nice.
I want cliches and hot takes on my preseason football.
Hyperbolic Collins will be back soon to fill the void.
I can't wait. That's my favorite part about watching regular season Rockets is Hyperbolic Collins.
What's he going to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Clint Capella is the third best center in the game.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best one.
Yao Ming had guard handles.
The Kevin Durant mid-range is one of, like, the top shots of all time.
Kareem Abdul's hook and Kevin Durant's midi.
I think the Capella one's my favorite.
That one
the Yao one's good too. Like Yao.
They're egregious.
I think Capella is the most egregious.
Yes,
because Yao did have good handles.
Yes.
So is it kind of nitpicky of us to say, like, oh, on the perimeter versus in the post? Maybe. That's why I think that one's not as egregious as Clint Capella's the third best center in the NBA.
He'd start for every other team.
He's the third best center on the Rockets.
Yes.
Yeah. He said he'd start on every other NBA team, which is hilarious. What'd you think of the other rookies, Rutledge, McDonald?
I mean, good. Like, Rutledge, it's one positive series, so I feel like it's hard to take a lot away from it. But so I'll take positive of the ball got there.
I just don't. Yeah, that's the snaps are interesting.
It's like the snaps are like
we didn't notice bad snaps.
Yeah, it's again that's another preseason thing. Is I don't want to notice you.
Same.
I don't want to see Keaton Rutledge out there and the ball is going 2 feet over Davis Mills' head or to the right or anything like that. All the snap stuff was good. McDonald, I was like, okay, like he's getting some good run here. That makes sense.
McDonald's are usually pretty mid.
Yeah, I agreed. Most of them are.
I thought he got pushed.
You thought he got pushed?
A little bit, yeah.
I thought he was fine. I didn't think anything
Nothing
spectacular.
Like,
I didn't think anything
off the
bad.
Film, but I thought he like there were a couple times where the Chargers ran wide, so he was taken out of the play. But it, like he got a little push on his man pushing him backwards. So it's you know it's whatever.
In the position he's playing, like you're not going to see a ton of highlights, no. Like unless he blows up a run or he gets to the pressure. Like his job is to eat up space and just stop the running game up the middle. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see a whole lot of that.
No, they ran wide.
He only played one tech. He didn't move around anywhere else on the offensive on the defensive line. So I thought that I didn't think that was interesting. That's what I expected, but just an observation. And then Rutledge, you're right about the snaps. Like not seeing any bad snaps is a good thing for a guy who's never played the position. As far as like how did he play? And the Chargers were incredibly vanilla. Like almost every single play was a four-man rush.
Yeah.
They're not doing any stunts, any games. So it's hard to put any stock in what Rutledge did. But is it better that he did like good versus bad? Obviously, it's just like that. That was like maybe a quiz on the way to the midterm.
Yeah,
it probably wasn't even a quiz. It was like a daily assignment. You know, so it's hard to put any weight in that, but. For what you saw, you're pleased with.
Yeah. I think, I mean, obviously, Kamari Ramsey, like, kind of the rookie that steals the show with the interception. Like,
At one point, he stole the show. The other point, we're like, what the hell is this dude?
The interception, you think it was a better pick or a worse throw? Because these are like, the tangible things that matter to me. Like, you could be a cornerback who's in the wrong spot, and the quarterback makes the worst throw in history right at you, and people are like, look at him making plays.
I mean,
well, he didn't really do anything. He just got the ball that was punted to him.
It's a pretty terrible throw.
Initially, I didn't give Ramsey any credit because it was a worse throw than it was a better pick for sure. Whenever they showed the replay, I was like, okay, he did make a break on the ball. He was reading the eyes. Like he did have an understanding of where he was going.
Yeah.
So I do think it was a good play. Certainly not a better pick than a worse throw. But it wasn't a spot where like he's just standing there and the quarterback misfires by 20 yards. He did have anticipation. He did break on the ball. So, yeah. That was nice.
I know I saw Texans Jacob tweet out the Pro Football Focus grades for Kamari Ramsey.
There was Pro Football Focus grades on this game?
Yeah, he was the highest graded rookie.
Really?
Or highest graded player through preseason.
Even
so
with
far.
That drop.
In the entire league?
Yes.
What was his grade?
94.
Oh, wow.
94.7 coverage grade.
Well, we all love Pro Football Focus, especially in the preseason.
Yep. That's what matters most.
He could have had a pick six, but he stonehanded that first one. But he still made the play, I guess.
Got a little excited. Yeah. And he did bobble the interception, too.
He did.
So maybe he doesn't have
There's great... a reason he plays defense.
Yeah. Maybe doesn't have
that
great
That thought
hands.
Crossed my mind last night.
What do they do with receivers who have bad hands? They play defense.
Yeah.
Speaking of receivers, 713-780-ESPN. I do want to have the receiver conversation. The depth chart at wide receiver. There were some players, too, that actually impressed me that will be tangible to the season, I think. And also some players that I think are in danger after... watching other people play. 713-780-ESPN. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Jeremy and Joe.
The margin of victory wouldn't change. The bets would just be bigger.
Yeah.
The size of the unit would be bigger.
Pause.
Why do you pause that? We're just talking about betting terms, Brian. Weirdo.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
The grass in summer, parachutes for the free fall of being younger. I memorize the sound of your bare footsteps running wild. It's been a long time.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
TK at 4, straight from the dike. Ramsey almost had two picks last night. He dropped one. I'm extremely disappointed that McDonald won't be an immediate impact defensive tackle.
McDonald is a guy we all like.
I was hoping he would take defense to all-time great status, Ocho. I think he is going to be an immediate factor.
He's just not going to be on the field a ton. Like, he's going to be a factor, but
yeah,
there's so much talent on this defense. That's why it felt like it was kind of
Well, I think
splurge?
He's more,
luxury
well,
pick.
Luxury, yeah.
Because he's a first and second down player, right?
Well, I mean, how long is Sheldon Rankins going to be around? And then Tommy Togi, I believe, is in the final year of his contract.
Fair.
Rankins is probably done after this year.
That's what I would think. So it's not so much a splurge. It's more of a future pick slash we use a lot of defensive linemen, so he's still going to play a lot.
Yeah, just not maybe as much in 26.
I mean, we'll see. I think he eventually by the end of the year, I think he's going to play top two most snaps for a defensive tackle.
Well, Sheldon's under contract through next year, too.
Yeah, how much? What do the guarantees look like, I wonder?
It says his dead cap's 9.1.
Oh, that's pretty big. Junkie says Patriots crisscross their receivers every play. We should do that, too. Yeah, mesh. Do a little mesh. Marlon looked like a big beast on the sideline last night. I left at halftime. What a flex. What a flex that, A, you were there, B, that you're so cool that you left at the half, and you're close enough to see how big a Marlon you got on the sideline, you know? You know?
I don't think going to a preseason game is a flex.
I was just yeah. Sassy.
I appreciate the sassiness.
A little sassy.
Also, stay the whole game.
Eh.
Preseason.
It's a work day.
I know.
Today's a work day. Somebody says Joel Dreesen. No one's excited for Joel Dreesen.
No, nobody.
Ocho says it's happy Peter Joseph Lambert Day. Texans show they had no depth. Yeah, the guys they're going to cut suck. Oh, well.
You mean when the backup scored a touchdown on the first drive?
Exactly. G the G, the only thing that mattered was the first drive. Still Brian's thought. And jockeying for jobs in the defensive backfield, and we learned we need a QB4 for the preseason. That's a great point. We'll talk about that in a minute, because I do have some – I think that is a talking point. We'll get to that in a moment. Take that I have. Jared Wayne, in my opinion, Joe, is higher than Lewis Bond in the wide receiver pecking order.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I know Lewis Bond has been the kind of the fun story of camp so far, it feels like, but I think it feels destined for practice squad.
I think that the Graham Mertz injury might open it up for him. The Texans and each of the D'Amico Ryans have kept 17 skill guys. Now, they've always had different configurations. Sometimes it's two quarterbacks. Sometimes it's three. Sometimes it's seven receivers. Sometimes it's six. Sometimes it's two tight ends. Sometimes it's four. Every year, they've kept 17 skill guys. It's kind of funny. Mertz going down may have opened a job for somebody else. Now, would have Mertz made this team? I would guess no, but he did make last year's team, and I would have guessed no. Like, maybe he's a guy that, hey, we want a third quarterback. He's going to be on the 53, but he's not going to be on the game day roster. But because we're carrying him on the 53, he's our emergency third. Like, maybe that was their strategy. I don't know. I wouldn't have kept Mertz a year ago. They did. I wouldn't have kept Mertz this year. Now they can't, you know. But did it open a job, or is it just, you know, are they going to replace him with another quarterback that's going to be on the 53?
I hope they don't.
We'll get to that in a moment. The guy that I was impressed with defensively was Jake Hummel.
Okay, why?
Because he was all over the place.
Yeah.
He looked better than Woody Wood has. Mapu did not look great. He was also playing that third linebacker in the 4-3. I also don't like that he wears number 14. He looks like a wide receiver playing linebacker.
I know they changed the rules in the NFL about what numbers guys can and can't wear. I hate it.
I don't like it either.
He's also not going to be on the roster.
I don't think it's off the table.
I kind of have a rule of thumb when I look at a 90-man roster.
Yeah.
If you're in the double numbers, so there's two number 14s, neither guy's making it. Here's the number.
Who's the other 14?
Trayvon Sanders, apparently. He's a wide receiver out of Colgate.
Two 14s?
Yes.
I guess you have to have double
numbers.
If you
look at the ESPN box score.
Why would you need to if there's only 90-man on the roster?
Great question.
Retired numbers.
They don't have any.
This is a league-wide rule. It's not a Texans.
I know, but with the Texans specifically, they wouldn't need to double up.
Well, the wide receivers can't wear certain numbers still.
Boom.
Okay.
They still can't wear like 60s and 90s and 50s.
Boom.
So, yeah, there's two number 14. If you look at the ESPN roster, it says 14D. And I was like, what does that stand for?
Defense.
Yeah, defense. So if there's two number 14s on a roster, neither guy's making it. You got to have your own number.
Interesting rule.
It's a good take, Joe. Yeah, I like it.
Let's see how it works out.
Let's track that.
Okay.
I think Mapu's making the team.
All right, we got two number 17s, two number 14s.
But I am down on him after yesterday's game.
Okay.
So I feel better about this take than I would have yesterday. I thought the punter was fine. I thought Kroger was okay. I thought he was okay. Texans Jacob, 51 yards punt average, 45.4 net, 4.51 hang time.
Those are good numbers.
He said that all of those numbers would put him in the top 10 in each statistical category last season.
Boom.
Now, he's not going to do that every time. He was cut punting indoors and no pressure because preseason game. But I thought it was fine. Like, I mean, if I was making the decision today, I think he's on this team and not cut.
Well, they don't have another punter right now, do they?
No, it'd have to come from the outside.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I think he's on the team.
It's his job.
It's his job, and then if during the season they might bring in new guys or guys that get cut, they can rotate him in and out.
I thought it was fine.
They traded for him.
Yeah.
So you would hope he made the roster.
That is wild.
And the Saints were like, yeah. The Saints threw a Mardi Gras whenever they traded Kay Kroger.
They did.
They hated him.
They were like, see ya, buddy.
Yeah. They were like, let's throw beads around after they traded Kroger. And then the other one that I had was Jake Andrews, I think, is in danger. Second string offensive line came out there. He was not on the field. Now, he did come out later. And then also, like, this team is pretty deep in interior offensive linemen. They don't have a lot of tackles. So I think that's more reason to think that Jake Andrews is not going to be on this football team. I think they're going to cut Jake Andrews and somebody else that we think would make the roster.
From the interior?
Yeah, I think they have to. Like, are you keeping three tackles or four?
You need four.
Yeah, you need four.
You need four.
So you're either going to cut Andrews, see ya, and then now you're looking at a cut between Jarrett Patterson and then the other Brown guy, the center. The guy that was playing center with the second string, Evan Brown, I think.
I mean, I guess Evan Brown gives you a little more flexibility, you would think.
Patterson was playing left guard.
No, they both can play.
Yeah, they're both the same guy.
Just depends on which one you. I mean,
you're not cutting the rookie Obafemi, are you?
No, I'm assuming it's Patterson safe because why would you restructure the contract?
So if you're keeping four tackles and you think Patterson's safe,
yeah.
then Andrews is gone and Brown's gone.
The only thing that would change that is even though they haven't tipped their hand to this yet, if they think any of these interior guys in an emergency situation can be your fourth tackle.
I think we would have seen it already.
Probably, but like, and I know they put the rule out of you can't tweet about the offensive line configurations at camp and things like that, but I feel like we would see it at some point, at least in the next preseason game.
Or, yeah, we would have seen it last night, I think.
Yeah. So, they're probably going to sign a tackle.
And just cut Fisher?
Yeah.
But they're still going to have to go through the scenario that I painted out.
Yeah.
Where Andrews is going to be gone, and then also Patterson or Brown will have to be gone.
Yeah.
Because you're not, I mean, if you're keeping five, your starters are Wyatt Teller,
yes.
Keelan Rutledge, Ed Ingram. If we think that they're keeping Patterson because they restructured the contract, he's the fourth interior offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And then are they going to cut the dude that they drafted from Oklahoma and Obafemi in the mid rounds?
I don't think so.
There's your fifth. So that means that Andrews is gone. And that means one of, would be Brown in this case.
Yeah.
And if Brown makes the team, then he's taking the spot of Patterson.
Yeah.
Unless they would cut the rookie, which I don't think is likely.
I guess, could they practice squad?
I think that's dangerous because he's sub now. If you put him on the practice squad, any team in the league can grab him.
So that's why that doesn't seem likely either.
It doesn't seem likely.
No.
I think they're going to cut two of those three guys.
Yeah.
And maybe Fisher, what you said.
Yeah, and go and find someone that gets waived on that massive cut day.
Yeah, and drop Fisher and pick up a fourth tackle.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Graham Mertz towards ACL. Now what for the Texans at the quarterback spot? Obviously, they have to bring somebody. They have signed somebody. Is it somebody that you want on the 53? What do you have in mind for that third quarterback spot for the Houston Texans? It's got to be Swarmy, though. We know that. 713-780-3776. Joe and Jeremy, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Trying to feel something real to cry again. They say the artist needs tears to write again. Cause all of my favorite stories.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
What's y'all's sweat of the day? We're on the Cubs. Cards over 8. It's 3-0 in the top of the 9th. Was this a vacuous bet?
A vacuous?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Thank you, Joe.
It's a word indicating a lack of thought, intelligence, or substance.
No, I thought they
were. I didn't like the pitchers.
They looked like they did pretty good.
Yeah. The Cardinals pitcher had been roughed up recently, and I believe the Cubs starter, who they got from the Mets, his first start didn't go all that well. So yeah. I was
betting
on the over.
It wasn't a vacuous bet. It was just a dumb bet.
In hindsight,
it was a wrong bet.
Yeah, there was a dueling no-hitters going through like 5. So
it's not ideal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Last time we bet on the Cubs, they got, what, one hit?
Yeah.
So maybe we lay off the Cubs for a while.
These lousy Cubs. Actually, they're winning today. So we're going to lose 2.08 units on the week, which brings our yearly total down to 0.55 unit. So a little bit of a slump here, boys.
We're slumping.
We need some day football.
That'd be awesome.
Day preseason football so we can bet on the underdog money line.
We need action to be day football.
I can't bet on college football.
Oh, that's right. You can't.
Yeah. Graham Mertz tore his ACL yesterday. What now? They had to bring in somebody.
They need a body at least for preseason. I would rather have three quarterbacks on the roster.
You like three on the 53?
Yeah,
I don't want a third on the 53. At this point, I don't. Like, just, if you drafted somebody, okay. But at this point, nah.
Yeah, because once you get to that third guy, if it's Graham Mertz, if it's a guy off the street, you're going to get killed anyway. Like, I think it's a wasted roster spot.
Why do you
spot.
Like the third guy?
Because your quarterback has a concussion problem, and what if Davis Mills gets hurt during a game?
You're going to lose no matter what.
Yeah, you're going to lose no matter what. I'm with you on that. It doesn't matter.
But, I mean, it's because, like, if you can do you send him back down to the... They're not on the 53-man roster for the game day.
Yeah, they're not on the game day.
They're the emergency
third. But they're still taking up one of the 53.
Yeah, but...
So do you have a guy in mind?
I do.
Who's it?
This is going to be a Notre Dame tie?
No. It's a quarterback who I think is going to be fourth on his depth chart, maybe third, who's started games in the NFL and is in his second year. Dylan Gabriel.
Oh.
Like, he played a lot in college. He's going to be available. Like Talen Green, they just drafted this year. They have Shador and Deshaun Watson. You're not hearing anything about Dylan Gabriel. He's going to be available.
I don't know that he is.
You think they're going to keep four?
No, but I think they can keep three.
And Talen Green practice squad?
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's banging down the door to sign Talen Green.
The Texans sign him off the practice squad? Gadget player?
So,
I don't think he's an NFL quarterback.
Same. My idea, I don't want a guy on the 53. But I don't want a veteran. Like, you've seen a lot of names thrown out there, like Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, it's someone in their first or second year.
I want a developmental quarterback that he's just on the practice squad all year. Like, you're with us, but you're going to take up one of the practice squad slots, but not our 53-man slot. And I really don't care who it is. I would like somebody that has some talent that maybe you could hopefully groom into a backup quarterback at some point, because Davis Mills is in the final year of his contract. I think they were trying to groom Graham Mertz into being the backup quarterback. So I would want a young developmental quarterback that you store on the practice squad all year long. I don't really have a name in mind. Also, I'd want a guy that's scheme fit, obviously. You know what I mean? This I don't want a guy sitting in the shotgun.
Probably not a scheme fit.
Who, Gabriel?
Pavia.
No. I don't need a guy who's going to ruin the culture. Absolutely not.
A backup quarterback is not going to ruin the culture.
A backup quarterback isn't worth bringing in if he's going to disrupt anything.
I don't think he's going to.
He got cut after he got guaranteed money before the first day of training camp.
He's going to be a popular
The guy is
online.
A problem.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with a practice squad quarterback that is a problem. I need a practice squad quarterback who's going to show up and do everything right and be incredibly quiet. He is not worth it. He is not worth the noise.
He's not worth people talking about.
I don't think he's not. He's swarmy on the football field.
Yeah.
But he's not a dude that they would want around. He's not one of their smart, dependable, tough kind of guys.
My only pushback would be is like,
no.
What?
No, no, no.
What
no.
What if the Ravens, being cut by the Ravens, and I know I'm saying this about Diego Pavia and it's like a 1% chance, but what if this is a humbling moment that takes some of that away?
No.
I'm looking at UFL.
I don't hate the idea. Right.
You would bring in a guy who has the chance of being an issue, a problem?
I'm kind of with Joe. I mean, a practice squad quarterback is not going to disrupt the team.
I disagree.
I think the team leadership with Will Anderson and all the other guys is strong, especially
under DeMeco. I think
they
would cut him before he became a problem.
Yeah,
but, for sure.
Because they've dealt with that before. They had C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They had Deontay Johnson.
He's just not worth it to me.
Yeah, but those guys were both cancers, and they cut them, and the culture stayed fine.
I don't think he would ruin the culture. I just think he'd be a problem, and they would eventually cut him, so it's not really worth it. You might as well bring in somebody else who can come in and be smart, reliable, dependable, and maybe be a system guy.
All right, I got two. I'm looking at the UFL rosters for this year, okay?
Okay.
Matt Corral.
Who?
He's the old Ole Miss guy.
He's got to
be 30.
I can't imagine he's young.
What's Matt Cassel up to?
He's 27. DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Oh, God.
I don't think these guys would be scheme guys.
No, I remember watching him play for the Browns.
I'm just throwing names out.
It's probably going to be...
Talia Tagovailoa.
They've worked out quarterbacks before. It's probably going to be a quarterback that they've worked out before.
Jack Plummer.
I heard somebody actually tweeted me that one today.
Is that Jake the Snake?
They're actually not related.
Really?
I Wikipedia'd him today, actually. He was the UFL MVP.
That's the guy then.
He works in the spread and the shotgun, and he's also like 27 years old. I think he started his career at Purdue, went there 3 years, and I think he went to Louisville. So the Texans have worked out quarterbacks somewhat recently, or at least the most recent. Jake Haener out of BYU,
okay,
and then Seth Hennigan out of Memphis. I bet it's going to be one of those two guys. Probably. If it's not like a veteran that's out there, I bet it's going to be one of those guys.
When was that? was that 2 years ago? Or Jake Hayner is 27.
Well, he went to BYU. I think he's only 2 years removed from college.
He got drafted in 2023.
Okay, so a little 3 years.
That's actually pretty close. Jeremy was right.
I wasn't being silly. I think it's going to be one of those guys if I had a bet.
Okay. But I think Cavi, I mean, at least the practice squad. I'd want him again. It is like a developmental guy.
Yeah,
developmental. Just someone that you can bring in, just have, try to develop in the next Davis Mills. That's what you're looking for.
Now, if you want to be like looking at other people's cuts, okay, that's fine. But you don't have the luxury of waiting for that. You have to bring in a camp body. You can't carry two quarterbacks in these preseason games.
Shedeur Sanders.
You're going to have to bring in a third until other ones get cut. So, like, if Gabriel gets cut at some point, okay, whatever, bring him in. That'd be a fine.
He's not going to be cut before the next game.
Exactly. So, you have to bring in somebody before then. So, it might be a temporary guy they bring in before they cut down to 53.
Which is probably even more reason it's going to be a guy they've worked out before because there might be some familiarity.
Yeah.
Because he's got to come in and take snaps this week.
What's Clayton Tune up to? Let's bring in Clayton Tune, baby. Is he on a football team?
Is he still with Arizona?
No, he came in during that like rookie minicamp for the Texans. He worked out with the Texans over the summer.
Oh.
So he played for the Columbus Aviators.
Yeah, so he's available. Bring in Clayton Tune, baby.
Yeah, I'm in for that.
Bring in Clayton Tune.
Go Cougs.
Why not?
He knows Tank.
He does. He's got the connection.
Tank and Tune. They're in tune.
Tank and Tune, baby.
Tank and Tune.
Tank and Clayton
Tune. Let's go.
Tune. Yeah. Bring in Clayton Tune.
If it's
Cougs.
Tank and Tune, you gotta be betting on the Texans no matter what.
Let's go.
Forget your
underdog. Tank and Tune. Preseason mojo. Let's get him a job. Let's go. Bring in Clayton
Can
Tune.
Can the Texans trade for Case Keenum?
No way. He's too valuable to the Bears.
Yeah, he's not available.
Way too valuable to the Bears. I think they would trade Badgen before they traded Case.
Yes.
They could actually get something of value for Badgen, I bet. What about Anthony Richardson?
Pass.
Hell yeah.
Anthony Richardson. Just for the rap songs, though.
It wouldn't make preseason fun. It wouldn't make preseason fun.
I mean, emergency third-string quarterback?
I would do it for the lulz, but not because I thought he was going to do anything on the football field.
I mean, bring in a little Anthony Richardson. He had a good stat line yesterday.
Why not?
He had a good stat. He didn't play well, but he had a good stat line.
Throw him out there on some gadget plays. Yeah. Little wildcat.
Tennessee doesn't want Will Levis anymore.
That's the one right there.
Oh, man. For the show content, it needs to be Will Levis.
Every single time CJ throws an interception. Will Levis wouldn't do that. Put him in.
I don't think that Tennessee wants to get rid of him, though. Did you see Cam Ward had a bad game yesterday?
Oh, it's Cam Ward's thing?
Cam Ward had a bad game yesterday. Hmm. You know who didn't catch a single pass? Darnell Tate.
Mm. I mean, we keep it a book right now, we ask.
It's over for the Titans. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Somebody said Pavia. No, he was second in the Heisman voting. Question mark, you don't want that guy? Yeah, Jason White was awesome in the NFL. Like, Heisman Trophy winners don't correlate to the NFL. Javier walked into the Ravens camp and said he was better than Lamar. He's a cancer. Oh, there you go. I didn't realize that's what it was. There you go. Can we sign Brendan Sorsby, or is he not available as an option? He's not available. Matt Ryan, he could double dip. I told Nick to sign Cody Carlson to be the third string quarterback. He only been retired a couple of years. Signed Kyle McNair. That's funny. Old man Rivers.
Oh yeah.
Old man
Rivers.
Isn't
he busy coaching high school?
He'll come out. He'll come out for a paycheck. He's got seven kids.
Oh, you know who could be available?
I think he's got more than seven.
Who's the Georgia quarterback with the Rams?
Oh, Stetson Bennett?
Yeah.
He's got a drinking problem.
We don't know that anymore.
He's also 34. So,
why not?
He's an old guy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Well, that's Todd Callis, who the Texans should sign as a third string quarter. We won't ask Todd Callis that.
Hunter Brown.
Todd Callis, voice of the Astros. He'll get us right on the series coming up against Seattle tonight. Todd Callis, when we return, it's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
St. Arnold, the beer for everyone. Their beer garden is a place for everyone. And for private events, they've got a space for everyone. They have spaces for groups from 20 to 300 people. For smaller groups, from 20 to 100, they've got their investors' pubs and larger groups like for us at the ESPN 97.5 Listener Appreciation Party coming up at the end of the month, up to 300 people. Full audio and visual capabilities, a full in-house catering menu. The beer is going to be fresh. It's right there from St. Arnold, the wine, cider, root beer, all that available to you as well. Book your events now, especially those holiday parties to get prime dates, whether it's a daytime rental or evening event, weekday or weekend. And since you're listening to this fine station, mention ESPN or my name, Joe George, and receive a free full-hour bar package for your event. Be sure to ask for details. Get started now at StArnold.com. Click on Private Events. That's StArnold.com. Click on Private Events.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, and then there's Zadok's.
KFNZ on Bellevue, Houston.